There were children, and then there were the children of Indians, because the merciless, savage inhabitants of these American lands did not make children but nits, and nits make lice, or so it was said by the man who meant to make a massacre feel like killing bugs at Sand Creek, when 700 drunken men came at dawn with cannons, and then again 4 years later, almost to the day, the same way at the Washita River, where afterward, 700 Indian horses were rounded up and shot in the head. These kinds of events were called battles, then later, sometimes, massacres, in America's longest war. More years at war with Indians than as a nation, 313. After all the killing and removing, scattering and rounding up of Indian people to put them on reservations, and after the buffalo population was reduced from about 30 million to a few hundred in the wild, the thinking being, every buffalo dead is an Indian gone, there came another campaign-style slogan directed at the Indian problem. Kill the Indian, save the man. When the Indian Wars began to go cold, the theft of land and tribal sovereignty bureaucratic, they came for Indian children, forcing them into boarding schools, where if they did not die of what they called consumption even while they regularly were starved, if they were not buried in duty, training for agricultural or industrial labor or indentured servitude, were they not buried in children's cemeteries or in unmarked graves, not lost somewhere between the school and home having run away, unburied, unfound, lost to time, or lost between exile and refuge, between school, tribal homelands, reservation, and city. If they made it through routine beatings and rape, if they survived, made lives and families and homes, it was because of this and only this. Such Indian children were made to carry more than they were made to carry. But before the boarding schools, in 1875, 71 Indian men and one Indian woman were taken as prisoners of war in Oklahoma and put on a train to St. Augustine, Florida, where they were jailed in a star-shaped prison castle, a star fort. It was the oldest masonry fort in the country and the first European settlement in the continental United States, built on the backs of Indian people under Spanish order in the late 1600s out of coquina, a kind of ancient shell formed into rock over time. The star fort built to defend the Atlantic trade route was named Castillo de San Marcos by the Spanish, after St. Mark, patron saint of, among other things, prisoners. Then under U.S. rule, it became Fort Marion, named after the American Revolutionary War hero Francis Marion, who'd been nicknamed the Swamp Fox and was known to have raped his slaves and hunted Indians for sport. Their jailer, Richard Henry Pratt, ordered that their hair be cut and that they be given military uniforms. Pratt also ordered that the Indian prisoners of war at Fort Marion be given ledger books to draw in. One Southern Cheyenne man named Howling Wolf took to it best because he'd been doing the same thing on buffalo hides to tell stories long before that. In the ledger books, he drew things from way back and high up, a bird's eye view. That hadn't happened before the same way on the hides. It was only after that long train ride from Oklahoma to Florida with iron chains around his wrists and ankles that Howling Wolf began to draw from where birds saw things. Birds see the best of any creature with a spine, are sacred because they soar the heavens, and with just one of their feathers and some smoke, prayers make it to God.